Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Riverstone Energy Limited Half Year Results Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Today's session is being recorded on Wednesday, the 30th of July, 2014. And I'll now hand the call over to your speaker today, Mr. Ken Ryan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the REL Half Year Results Call for the period ending 30th of June 2014. I'm Ken Ryan, a Managing Director at Riverstone, and I'm also joined by Alfredo Marti, who's also a Managing Director at Riverstone. So I am pleased to report that we have continued to make very good progress on our strategic objectives for the first half of 2014. I'd like to take you through some of the key financial and operational highlights in brief, and then I'll hand over to Alfredo to expand on the current portfolio in more detail and also to discuss briefly the pipeline of investments that we see on a go-forward basis. And then we will open the lines to take any questions that you may have. So less than a year has passed since we completed our IPO, and we continue to see very attractive investment opportunities driven principally by the accelerated pace of change in the North American energy sector. And you'll notice at the moment our entire portfolio is North American-based. We're benefiting from the ongoing tightness in operators' capital budgets and also from the sustained growth in global energy demand. As at the end of June, REL had a net asset value of $1.14 billion, or $16 per share. That compares with $16.04 per share as at the year-end, December 31, 2013. The share price as of June 30th this year was £9.25, or $15.82, and that represents a discount to NAV of just over 1%. For the six-month period to June 30th, the company made a loss of $2.4 million, or $0.034 per share. Over the period, REL made three new commitments, and also the company invested capital in each of its five portfolio companies. This means that in the eight-plus months from the listing to June 30th, the company has committed a total of $376 million, or 31% of total capital raised, to five different portfolio companies. Those portfolio companies span offshore and onshore and conventional and unconventional E&P in both the U.S. and Canada. So a very good spread of opportunity. Of this, $166 million has been invested, equating to about 14% of total capital raised. The rate of deployment is in line with our stated aim to be fully committed within a timeline of 24 to 36 months from the date of the IPO. And we continue to see very good opportunities to deploy capital, driven again by favorable macro trends in the industry. Our core objective, meanwhile, remains the realization of long-term capital appreciation and returns through the growth and value of our portfolio companies. And importantly, we are investing alongside proven management teams, many of whom we have worked with before, and all of whom have outstanding operational experience. And while we are still in the initial stage of development of the company, we believe the current portfolio of investments offer excellent growth and return potential. So with that, I'd like to pass over to Alfredo, who will go through the investment portfolio in a little bit more depth.
Thank you, Ken. As you said, I'll go through the current portfolio and touch briefly on the current pipeline of investments. Earlier this year, the company announced a new capital commitment of $82 million to Fieldwood Energy, of which an initial $64 million was invested to support the acquisition of Sandridge Energy's Gulf of Mexico and Gulf Coast business unit. Following the acquisition of these assets, as well as that of Apache's Gulf of Mexico shelf business, Fieldwood now has a leasehold of approximately 650 blocks and is currently the leading oil and gas producer in the Gulf of Mexico shelf. The company is led by CEO Matt McCarroll, who previously led Dynamic Offshore Resources, a successful Riverstone-backed portfolio company that was sold in 2012. Encouragingly, a recent Q2 valuation update process resulted in an increase of 10% in Fieldwood's fair market value estimate, primarily on the basis of comparable company valuations and transactions. In March, we announced a $60 million commitment to Canadian International Oil Corporation, or CIOC for short, a private exploration and production company focused on the liquids-rich unconventional resources in Western Canada. CIOC is led by CEO Scott Sully and has aggregated one of the largest and most advantaged land positions in the emerging Montney and Duvernay formations of Western Canada's Deep Basin. The company controls and operates 100% of this asset base, which comprises approximately 400,000 acres and currently produces approximately 3,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. CIOC has so far deployed 3 drilling rigs to delineate and develop this acreage and expects to add a 4th rig over the next 12 months. To date, we have invested $39 million from Ariel into CIOC. The final investment in Ariel during the first half of 2014 is Rock Oil, which is a newly formed Denver and Houston-based oil and gas company. The Rock Oil management team, which is led by CEO Kyle Miller, previously built a substantial acreage position along with associated production in the Eagle Ford Shale, which it successfully sold to Sabine Oil and Gas and Sanchez Energy at material premiums to invested capital. The team is actively pursuing a number of potentially promising transactions in the Eagle Ford, Permian, and Utica basins, but has not closed its first acquisition yet. To date, we have invested $2 million out of an $83 million commitment announced in March. Additionally, during the first half of the year, Ariel invested $66 million of its $100 million commitment to Liberty Resources II in order to support its acquisition of oil and gas assets in the Williston Basin in North Dakota. The acquired properties comprise approximately 53,000 net acres, primarily located in the Williams, Divide, Burke, and McKenzie counties, and over 4,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day of total production from the Bakken and Three Forks formations, which Liberty II will continue to target for further development. This transaction represented the first acquisition by Liberty II since its formation in November 2013. Liberty is currently operating a 2-rig drilling program through which 4 wells have been spud to date and 4 more are being completed. The results from these wells are expected within the next few months. Finally, as you will remember, our first commitment was to Eagle II, the EMP business led by Steve Antry, and focused on the mid-continent region of the U.S. To date, Ariel has invested $6 million of its $50 million commitment in Eagle II, as the company continues to progress its primary strategy to access new acreage for delineation and development. Eagle II has already closed on a land position of approximately 3,000 acres in Oklahoma's Scoop play, and has secured an additional 5,000 acres through signed purchase and sale agreements. The company expects to initiate a drilling program in this acreage later this quarter. In terms of future opportunities, we continue to benefit from the tailwinds of surging oil and gas production in North America, within the context of potential supply disruptions elsewhere in the world. Ongoing growth in energy demand and traditional industry players facing capital constraints, as Ken mentioned before. Ariel's pipeline of new investments remains strong, with a number of near-term opportunities to deploy over $500 million of incremental Ariel capital. These opportunities fit within Ariel's existing strategy of backing proven management teams in our focus areas of EMP and midstream. With that, I'd like to now hand over to Ken for his closing remarks.
Thanks, Alfredo. So to conclude, we are very pleased with the quality of our initial investments and with the company's continued progress. Our investment pipeline, as Alfredo mentioned, remains very strong, and we have a number of actionable E&P and midstream investment opportunities that are in various stages of evaluation and negotiation. As Riverstone's investment team continues to deploy capital and our management teams deliver well in our investment objectives, we remain confident the company will perform strongly for shareholders over the medium term. With that, I'd like to open the floor to any questions that anyone has.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, just press the hash key. Okay, your first question is from the line of Ian Armstrong from Bruin Dolphin. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wondered if we could give two questions, really. First of all, with regards to the difference between commitment and actually investment, and I wondered how, in terms of the progress of getting to that total commitment number, how that's going to turn out.
Yes, good morning, Ian. This is Ken. I would say it's sort of company by company specific, but we feel that gap, so to speak, if you just look at the current portfolio today, will close pretty materially by the end of the year. Certainly as an example, CIOC has a strong program of deploying that the remaining commitment. Mm-hmm. Rock Oil is looking at a number of opportunities, as our Eagle. So I would say we sitting here today, we have good visibility on moving from that 166 number, a long way towards the 376 number. Probably won't get all the way to the 376 number by the end of the year, but we'll make substantial progress there.
Yeah, it was the Rock one that sort of stood out as being 2 versus 83. The other ones being much closer. Yeah.
Yeah, and they are, they are actively looking at a number of opportunities. One in particular that, were it to come to pass, would result in the entire commitment being drawn. Now, I will hasten to add that's up there in the early stages. So, a lot can happen between the stage we're at and ultimately drawing that capital. But they are actively looking to deploy that.
And in terms of when you came to see us a few weeks ago, the progress on the advanced opportunities, I think there was five or six that you were looking at, two in the midstream, four in the EMP. And you could say possibly two in the next 4 to 6 weeks, so we're getting quite close to that.
Yeah, like everything, as soon as you lay out the timetable slips about 30 seconds afterwards. I would say it seems our investment opportunities, our actual investments, come along in sort of clumps of two or three. I think if you look over the next month or two, we would expect to announce two and then potentially as many as three new investments. And then they would all be sitting here today, E&P opportunities. And then we have another two in the pipeline. One is a midstream opportunity. Another is another E&P opportunity. They are probably further out. We have a number of other situations we're looking at, but I would say three in the near term, with another two looking like you're a little bit after that.
Is that sort of timing partly affected by the new fund, the new Riverstone fund?
No, none whatsoever. Purely very specific deal related stuff. Just certain items taking longer to iron out than we expected.
And as you said, it was five or six. I mean, has there been anything? Are you still working on more at the moment, or are you just trying to get through those five or six?
I mean, I think in any given day in our firm, we have a multiple of different opportunities that people are looking at. That are in various stages of moving through the funnel. This handful that we're talking about now are either at investment committee stage or through investment committee stage and waiting to sign papers, or are about to go to the investment committee stage. And then you have a multiple of opportunities that people are working on that come behind that, and things fall away for a variety of reasons before they get to the investment committee stage.
I'm just thinking also with regards to the natural gas price in the U.S. has been very weak of late. Is that is that halting progress, or does the new term change in the Dutch gas price not really have an impact on it?
Not. I mean, you know, over a long period of time, yes, but in a short period of time, on a deal by deal or investment by investment basis, not really.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ian.
Thank you. Once again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. The next question is from the line of David Gamboa from Tudor Pickering Holt. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have two questions just regarding your assets in the Williston Basin. So the first one, I think you mentioned Jersey holds net 53,000 acres in the area. I was wondering if you could give a breakdown between the Three Forks versus the Middle Mackin acreage there. And following that, could you like elaborate on the type well assumptions? I mean, what sort of IP rates are you seeing there and EURs? In terms of drilling program over there, which areas or counties are you going to be concentrating on?
Yeah, David, we are not in a position to reveal a lot of technical details of the program at this stage in this call. We can certainly organize a follow-up and go into a lot more detail on that. But what I can tell you is that the acreage that we acquired out of Liberty is in the four counties that I mentioned: Williams, Divide, Burke, and McKinsey. We are, as I mentioned in the call, in the process of completing four wells there that were previously drilled by the owner of the acreage, and drilling four more. I would say that the metrics of the wells in terms of IPs, etc., our expectation is a little bit higher than the what you typically see in the play, and that's driven by drilling longer horizontals with more frac stages than the typical operator in the area. And the cost is expected to be around $1 million per well. But I think for this particular call, we would stop there in terms of specific technical details of the wells. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair enough. And just follow up. So you said that you're going to drill four more wells. Is that like the minimum commitment for holding the acreage, or do you have another different commitment to that, or what's the number of wells you need to drill in order to hold that acreage there?
No, we have a very large sort of drilling location inventory in this acreage, and the amount of drilling that we're doing is mostly driven by optimizing the deployment of the two drilling rigs that we have on site. We're drilling four well pads at the moment, and when we finish this four well pad, we'll just move on to the next. The pace of activity is not driven by specific deadlines or commitments at this stage.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
No problem.
Thank you. Once again, that's star one if you would like to ask a question. Okay, there are no further questions, Mr. Ryan.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you everyone for participating this morning, and we will look forward to speaking to you all again at the full year results.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference call for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.